Now, chances are there are some things you just don't want to hear me talking about. It's okay, I can take that. So when a copy of Catherine Kemp Griffin's new book, Paris Undressed, The Secrets of French Lingerie, when that arrived here at the Blueprint Institute and an interview was offered, we reached immediately for fashion journalist Patty Huntington.
French lingerie is a billion-dollar industry, and while in terms of actual numbers, France is the world's fourth biggest maker of bras and knickers, when it comes to image and branding, no one can hold a candle to them. From the corseted courtesans of Versailles to the Moulin Rouge can-can dancers and their frills and garters, not to mention those inexplicably perennially popular French maid outfits at costume hire shops the world over, the French, and in particular Parisians, somehow managed to corner the market in Ooh La La. Catherine Kemp Griffin, a Canadian journalist and entrepreneur who lives in Paris, is the author of a new book called Paris Undressed, which aims to decode the secrets of French lingerie and explain what she says the French know about seduction that the rest of the world doesn't have a clue about. Kate, welcome to Blueprint for Living.
Thank you.
Look, the book is a kind of travel diary meets an accidental journey into the heart of the French lingerie industry. And it kicks off in 1990 with a coin flip deciding where you and your husband would move. Heads Paris, tails San Francisco. Look, tell me about your introduction into this mysterious new world when you went to buy a new bra one day.
The experience of buying a new bra was following that the coin toss was done in a moment of exaltation and excitement. And then, of course, we moved over, and finding a job wasn't quite so easy when you can't speak the language. And I remember feeling quite dejected after yet another rejection from a job interview. And I was walking down the streets of Paris, and I just happened upon a lingerie boutique window saturated in color. With silks and lace, and I stopped, and I looked, and it just seemed so opposite of what I was actually wearing myself, which happened to be my jockey, probably sports bra at the time.
But it's seen better days.
It had seen better days. It probably had seen its best day on the rack. But there was just something that triggered at that moment. I couldn't actually even put it into words, and I went in and ended up buying a new bra following a wonderful experience with a shop owner who really took her time to find the right bra and explore this sensorial experience. And I just had this moment of, it was a bit of an epiphany, if you'd like. I'm in a new city, a new me, perhaps a new bra and a new me. And I hadn't yet been able to put the words to it, but there was something in the culture, something in the air, something in the vibrations of this city. That was an invitation to explore the senses. And it started with me with a bra. It also led to a job because in that lingerie boutique, I noticed they didn't have any lingerie accessories. So in fact, I started my own lingerie company as a result. But the first impulse was the bra.
Look, 1889 was a big year for Paris. The Eiffel Tower was unveiled, Hermine Cadol invented the modern bra,
yes.
And the Moulin Rouge opened its doors. Now, I read that a visit to the Moulin Rouge prompted your interest in garter belts, which you say should be an essential item in every woman's wardrobe. How much of a role do you think the famous Paris Burlesque clubs, contributed to Paris's image as, I guess, the ground zero of lingerie?
Well, burlesque—the heritage of burlesque—is actually from the United States, but it came into the cabaret and the shows in France. But it's how much do I believe it actually resonates with lingerie today? I think there's this freedom of expression. There's this idea that of expression with lingerie and sexuality on stage, which actually then is more about sensuality. So the French are very good at being able to tease without vulgarity. We haven't had quite the same experience in being able to put on a show that actually can create excitement and enthusiasm and keep it all rather PC and clean. The French have been able to put on this show and take it to the theater and to be able to have expression and sensuality and sexuality roll through on a daily life.
And it was quite scandalous at the time, the Moulin Rouge, in terms of whether the can-can girls were wearing knickers or they weren't. But look, let's sort of move on to sort of, I guess, feminism and lingerie. And look, the suffragettes embraced the bra as an instrument of emancipation from the corset, while feminists in the 1960s burned theirs. I was interested to read, I think it was a blog post you did recently, about the coincidental timing of the big international trade show for lingerie in Paris in January, which was happening the same weekend as the women's protests.
Oh, right.
And the women's protests, they were wearing the pink pussy hats while the models were storming the Paris runways in pink lingerie. And you said that they both celebrated girl power in different ways. I mean, how so?
Well, yes, that was quite an interesting weekend, because I've been in the lingerie industry for over 20 years, and there has been this inexplicable feeling when you're walking through a trade show with lots of women in underwear and lots of men in suits and champagne glasses in their hands and drinking and sipping, and it just seems to have gone against every single grain I'd ever known about feminism. Yet at the same time, that weekend, it felt completely comfortable, and that weekend a friend had actually asked me, how could I possibly be working in an industry that promotes such sexism and be marching at the same time? And it really brought to head the idea that it's as simple as it is. Our bodies are ours, and we can do with them what we want. And having an ability to exude or feel or express a sensuality and sexuality is nobody else's business but our own. And I feel as if in North America in particular, and perhaps it's the same in Australia, there's this fear of women that comes with the idea of lingerie, that somehow it's going to bring on a certain power or a certain kind of unwanted attention that we don't necessarily know what to do with, as opposed to actually wearing it for ourselves and letting it be something that becomes an expression of ourselves. I certainly remember growing up in an era, and it's still very much the rape culture today as well, that somehow we brought it on ourselves. And there's this idea, this always this little voice saying, are you doing the right thing not to draw, to garnish the wrong kind of attention, this idea of wrong kind of attention, when there is no such thing. We can wear whatever we want, and true freedom and liberty is to be able to wear what we want. So to be able to march for the it was basically human rights around the world as well, for women's rights. But at the trade show, it really wasn't about marching and provocation. It was about sensual freedom. And it's a different approach to lingerie.
Okay, you're listening to Blueprint for Living on RN. I'm Patty Huntington, and I'm chatting with Catherine Kemp Griffin about her new book, Paris Undressed. I read somewhere that the sports bra is killing the bra market.
Yes, well, it's very easy for us to accept the fact that we need a sports bra, especially when you look at the language in sports bra, too. It's all very technical, and we feel as a consumer much more reassured the more technical that's on it, and we're allowed to go into a lingerie store if we need a sports bra, because that doesn't actually identify or pose any threat to our sexuality. We're allowed to wear a sports bra. We're doing sports. We all need regular support. It keeps the language very contained, and with different designs, it can, and our ease with going into activewear, as you say, it's an easy transferable product throughout the day.
Now, you've also pioneered lingerie tourism in Paris, taking people to some of the city's lingerie institutions, including boutiques with names like Fifi Chachnil and Princess Tam Tam that sound like they're straight out of a French farce. Look, tell me a little bit about what happens on these tours and who goes on them. I mean, only women, or do men tag along too?
Yes, the lingerie tours are fascinating. I started doing it simply with friends who were coming through Paris, and thought of it more as a way to walk the streets, as opposed to, you know, perhaps you've done the different museums after walking through the Louvre and Musée d'Orsay, and this would be a way to get us out onto the street and to explore different areas in Paris. And because there's so many different lingerie stores, I just thought it'd be a fascinating promenade. And basically about looking at windows, but it evolved into, it wasn't so much about going and window shopping, it was actually about getting into the change room. And every single woman that came through, and yes, it is mostly women. Have I had men? I've perhaps had a couple come through, but it is mostly women, either mothers and daughters or sisters or girlfriends or groups of women. And categorically, every single tour ends up in the change room. And I think it's to do with the giving, she's decided to give herself the time It's a conversation that she's pretty much never had with herself about what she thinks about lingerie, what it means to her. And that really is the crux of the book, too. It's not really about how French women wear lingerie. It's about being able to answer the question by the end of the book, what does lingerie mean to me? And to be able to have all these different doors by which to open. And I go into a lot of detail with the fabrics and triggering sensations. But with the women in the change rooms, it's just taking the time to find out what she likes, what she doesn't like, what even asking the question, does she like lace, does she not like lace? And you're in a different city where the idea of luxury is already something accessible, something that you're here to enjoy. The word pleasure and plaisir doesn't have the same connotation as it does at home. And she just gives herself the time. It's probably one of my most thrilling moments, actually, the lingerie tours has turned into something bigger than I actually thought it would be. And doesn't matter what age the woman is, whether she's 20, celebrating her 20th birthday in Paris with her mother, or just divorced, just married, getting remarried, newly single, just retired. The questions are often quite the same, very similar. You know, if we haven't had that conversation when we were 13 years old about what we like or what we don't like, it's one of those questions that keeps coming back as we go through the journey of being a woman.
So there you have it, folks. If you're in Paris, once you've done the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame, maybe check out some French frou-frou. Kate, thanks so much for your fascinating insights.
Thank you very much.
Fashion journalist Patty Huntington there with author Catherine Kemp Griffin, and her new book is Paris Undressed, The Secrets of French Lingerie. This is Blueprint for Living.